Hey, collaborist, I'm Ben Leroy.
And I'm Jason Buchholz.
And you, after such a long delay, you are so patient, are watching Collaboracast. How's it going, Jay?
Or just listening.
Or just listening, yeah.
I think, is this a podcast? I think, yeah,
right. Who knows?
Just received some form of consumption. I'm great. I'm happy to be back chatting with you here.
Likewise. Likewise, my friend. You know, I do want to make a quick comment to the comment bros in the YouTube videos in the past who have been like, enough with the chit-chat, just get to the episode. I was watching a New to Me podcast on YouTube, and boy, those first couple of minutes were excruciating because these people were talking and I had no idea what they were talking about. And I was like, please just get on with the episode. I'm trying to get information. So comment guy, who's always been mad about the chit chat in the beginning of the episode, I still think you're kind of rude, but I kind of get you at the same time. So I get it. And just, I'm just going to jump into the weather. It's cold here. And, earlier this week with the wind chill, I think it was like negative 15 when I was out on a walk. So great to know that winter has shown up and is in full fighting spirit. How are things out there on the western coast of the United States of America near the Pacific Ocean?
We were upper 60s yesterday. It was a t-shirt afternoon. I'm afraid to report.
Kind of like an 80 degree temperature difference.
Yep, sounds like it, over a couple thousand miles. So,
where have we been?
Good question. Where have we been? I had to take a pause there. We've been working hard. Got some really great projects, some good, meaty, captivating projects that we've been into deeply, sleeves rolled up, pants legs rolled up. Speaking of pants, we're going to come back to pants later. Hold that, hold that thought. Planting a little, it's a little foreshadowing.
Yeah.
working hard, and I've had a couple developments here on my end as well.
Yeah, I want to get into that, so I'm not even going to hesitate anymore. Congratulations, Mr. Buchholz. I believe you have some news for the people.
Thank you, sir. Yes, I sold my novel, Our Cartographer of Sands. The announcement, I think, was early last week, so we can officially talk about it here, to a new publisher called Green City out of Bend, Oregon. And yeah, very excited about it. I've been working on this novel. There are ideas in it that I can trace back to 1994, mere 30 years ago. So it's obviously not the only thing I've been doing in that time, but I started thinking about it, started coming up with characters and plot lines. Yeah, back when I was a wee junior in college. And
can you give us a little bit of a synopsis?
I'd be happy to. It revolves around a missing high school senior. She runs away from home. This is a Bay Area family here, a Berkeley family. She is the youngest of three. She has two older brothers. One of them is a biologist, a UC Berkeley professor. The other one is fresh out of San Quentin. She vanishes right before her high school graduation, right a little bit before her 18th birthday, cleans her room up, puts everything away, leaves a note that just says, I'm okay, and just dips out one night. And her father and mother recruit these two brothers to go and look for her. And as the story unfolds, one of them heads south, the other heads north. And so they have these kind of parallel but mirror image journeys through the different ends of California. And as the story goes along, they are looking for various things, but along the way discovering why she left, what the circumstances are around her choice and what she's doing. And things go from there.
How much of a role does California itself play?
Big. California is a major component of this story, the physical landscapes, the different towns and cities. And part of the conception for it in the beginning was to really send my characters through a lot of different places in California that I wanted to write about. I wanted to explore through narrative, through storytelling. And even in the many rejections that I accumulated, this is not the first time this book has been out on submission. It went out before COVID. I don't remember exactly when. I just know it was before COVID. And in the course of that process, I came across an editor who gave me some really excellent feedback. Took some time. His name is Joe Olsham, and he is an author and he's an editor. And he kind of represents a couple of different publishers. And he's an advisor to Green City. So he came across this and he spent an hour talking to me. He says, I can't take this on right now. It's still a little too raw. There's some things that need to be that I think should be shifted around. And he took an hour out of his day and told me all about it and gave me his thoughts and his feedback and his vision. And it was really amazing feedback. It was really wonderful advice, and it helped me to unlock a number of other things in the book. So I, went back to did a couple more drafts beyond that, and that brought us around to this point. But in the course of that first round of rejections, and we ended up taking it back out again. He, long story, I won't go into all that, but a lot of the feedback that I got, even through the rejections, was that the people were really drawn to the locations, to the places, to the way I had written about the state, the landscape and everything. So it's I just needed to find someone who liked the people as much as the places.
I've been a lot of places. I don't know if I have ever known a state that has writers who I have met who are so in love with and intrigued by the state itself and the history and the magic of it. And I think California's vastness contributes to that, and its diversity contributes to that. But I'm always excited to read another book by someone who loves the setting as much as the California authors who I know love California.
Well, you just sent me Pedro Hoffmeister, Peter Hoffmeister's book, and I realized that it's about Yosemite, so I'm very excited about that. That's a place that I love. But yeah, I think the vast it's it it is it's really it's a captivating place. It's got its problems, of course. It's cost an arm and a leg and another arm and another leg to live here. But there it is captivating. And we talked about kind of the 80 degree difference between you and me right now. They're not quite to that extent, but there can be my brother lives an hour and a half from me, and the coast is maybe 45 minutes from me in the other direction. And sometimes there is a 40, 50 degree difference between where my brother lives in Sacramento and what's happening out on the coast. And in between, there are all sorts of microclimates and ecosystems, and there's farmland, and there's hills, and there's ocean, and there's snow and desert and just all sorts of things. And so, a lot of the book is a love letter to California.
Is there an announced or anticipated release date?
Fall of next year.
Fall of
So
2025?
of 2025. Yeah, so it's a
Okay, great.
pretty quick turnaround, which is lovely. I'm waiting on some notes from the editors right now. It sounds like there's going to be some developmental work to do, which we've chatted about, and I like the direction it's going in.
What's that like to be on the other side of that process?
Well, given that it's been 30 years and I've just been hoping that this could happen, I'm thrilled. I'm overjoyed, and I am relieved. I'm also quite relieved. Not least of all because the system that got my first book out there, of which you were a major part of, is no longer doing its thing. So, my agent, Robin Russell, is no longer agenting. My publisher, Ben Leroy, is now my partner here at Collaborist. But, after that system, after you and she went on to do other things, I had to kind of rebuild that system from the ground up. And and doing it once feels like hitting the lottery. So being able to do it twice is really gratifying and just feels like I won six lotteries. It's not just two lotteries. It feels like I mean I'm thrilled, and a big part of the happiness that I'm feeling about this is that these guys at Green City really remind me a lot of you and the team at Tyrus. It's just kind of the whole vibe, the personal nature of it, kind of the small, it's a mom and pop shop. So, it feels very personal. It feels like they really care about the story. They really care about the characters. They were picking up on things in the book that a fan would pick up on, not just, it's like, oh, okay, well, this is, I think we can market this to the, it's there's obviously it's a business, and so there's a business approach, but the way in the conversations that we've had about the story, I feel like it's a great place for it. And like I said, it really reminds me of our first meetings and conversations about A Paper Son, which was 10, 9, 10 years ago
Yeah, that
now.
was a while ago. As details become more available, cover and a specific release date, you'll let us know so that we can encourage our collaborators, our friends out here, to pre-order the book because pre-orders are very important for books. And so you'll let us know, right?
I'm not going to be quiet about
Okay.
it. I will
So,
be letting you know about it ad nauseum.
all right. So, watch this sleight of hand. A lot of people talk about once they have a book sold and they're waiting on editorial feedback, that they find themselves having to start in on the process anew with a different project. So, like, are you like up to anything or anything like that?
What an organic and spontaneous segue.
I made that happen up here while I was talking earlier.
Yes, I am. So, funny you should ask. I have another project that has been percolating for a couple of years now. I started writing a little bit. I wrote a couple of chapters a couple of years ago, and then as I've had breaks from the novel, because we were out on submission, because editors were reading it, I've been kind of working away at this. This is a nonfiction project. I'll talk more about it in a minute. But coming now that I've gotten this one to almost the finish line, I've really been able to focus on that and get some things on paper. But it's very different. So it's nonfiction. I've talked a bit about, kind of, I think some in some of our earlier episodes about a lot of the hiking and backpacking and kayaking and stuff that I've done. So this is, a part of my connection with California. But over the last 5 or so years, I've spent about 1500, you know what? Let me just, I've got my notes right here. Give me one second. I have spent 1,210 hours by myself in the wilderness, and I've covered 1,717 miles in the course of that time.
Beautiful.
So, I'm a little bit of a data nerd, obviously. Yeah, that has been a series of solo hikes, solo backpacking trips, long day hikes, kayaking trips, just in the wilderness, looking for silence, looking for quietude, as something of a meditation, as something of a midlife. Oh, I turned 50, by the way, since our last episode, so midlife is
Birthday wishes.
optimistic.
Oh no, dude, we're cyborgs. You're not even at the quarter life mark yet.
I don't want to think about that, but yeah, as kind of a midlife reset slash self-examination, reconnection to nature, our work, your work and my work is very much on computers. It's indoors, it's looking at screens and talking to people, all of which I love. But I spent a lot of time in my early 20s, and I kind of got started with backpacking, camping, and things like that. And as families come along, as work comes along, and bills and so on, that can take a back seat. So I've been able to get back to that over kind of these last 5 years. And so this manuscript that I'm working on is an exploration of that time and some of the things that I saw, the places I went, things that I saw. And it's fairly philosophical because there's not a lot of action. By myself in the woods, there's not a whole lot of crazy unexpected things that happen. Obviously, you get your storms come in, you need to build a fire, you're struggling to build a fire, whatever it might be. But there's not, it's there's not a lot of dialogue. I didn't even really talk to myself much. But it's a very different process for me because with my novels, so these the A Paper Sun, The Cartographer of Sands, and then I have a third novel in that series. And the common theme between the three of them is a missing person. So this is kind of my missing person novel trilogy. And I have the third novel fairly well outlined. I actually did start writing it once. I'm not sure. I may get back to that, or I may just toss that out and start it anew. But in any event, like I have a pretty clear idea of the outline, which I worked on years ago. But for this particular, like this memoir project, I don't really know where I'm going with it. I mean, obviously there's a chronology, and I've picked out a number of events and expeditions that are emblematic of certain things that I want to write about, but I'm really making it up as I go along and writing long passages, sometimes pages, sometimes whole chapters that I don't know if they belong in the manuscript or not. So this is really a different mode of working for me. When I'll obviously I've been working on this novel for 30 years. It's been through many iterations. There have been many changes from the original outline, but I always had a very clear roadmap. And as I went along, things would come up and I would make changes. I think there's a major character that didn't appear until probably the fifth or sixth draft. I just kind of had this sense that something was missing and I wasn't sure what it was, and then this character came on the scene and was like, "Hey, I'm the thing that's missing."
Such
But
a magical feeling when that happens. And then you're
it
like, oh my
is.
God, I get to meet you and I get to know who you are and I get to see how you interact in this world.
Yep. You get to think about your mom and dad and where you came from and what you do when you're not working and so on. So, in the case of this memoir, it's much less structured, much less planned, and I'm getting into things, and I'm really surprising myself with it, because some things will come up and they will trigger memories, and I'll see how things are connected to other times in my life, other trips that I've taken, and if for completely different reasons and completely other eras of my life. And it's been a really it's a really it's a different process. It can be really challenging, like more challenging than writing fiction. But it also has been full of, you talk about the character and how wonderful and surprising that is. And in my fiction, I think that because I plan things so carefully, I get like I front load all the inspiration and the surprises so that when I'm writing, they come up, but they're few and far between. Now, with what I'm writing, I feel like every chapter that I start, I'm not really sure what's going to come up. And then something does. And the thing that's scary is I don't know if those things are interesting or not yet. Like before, I would have enough of a structure to say, oh, yeah, I see how this is related, and I know that this will be interesting. Now I'm like, okay, am I just, is this just an extended diary entry that I, you know, am I just, you know, we'll see. So it's a very different process now for this first draft. And then once I'm done with this draft, and I'm about halfway there, once I go back, I think that the doing the second draft is going to be a whole different process too. Because I haven't gone back. I haven't gone back to have to work on a completed draft that is so raw and so kind of unformed. And I'm a little afraid. I'll just go ahead and play it. I'm a little afraid of what
Yeah.
that process is going to be. But I'm looking forward
It's
to it. I think it's going to be fun, but I think it's going to bring some challenges that I haven't come across in decades of doing this.
yeah, the fear is a worthwhile thing to consider because there is no guaranteed outcome. And that's the slightly terrifying part of it, is that you can have all of these pieces and never get to a place of full understanding of how they all fit together. And so then what you just have is the puzzle box and all of the pieces, but you don't have a picture of what the puzzle is exactly, which makes it impossible to really sort of put it together. I ran into the same issue, and I don't tell you this to scare or jinx you. But back in 2014, when I did the volunteer work in all 50 states, I met with a very powerful agent who was active at the time, and they were like, "Oh, well, this is totally a book. You should be able to write about your experience traveling across the country, talking to volunteers, talking to the people who are being helped by volunteers, talking to experts in the field," because this is all stuff that I was doing. Could never come up with a coherent book project that made sense based on what my experiences were and the pieces that I had available to me. And that was humbling because it couldn't just be a travel blog of I went here and did this, I went here and did this. I couldn't ever figure out what the whole journey was about. And the genesis of me even doing that was a friend of mine had passed away, and it was me wrestling with that a little bit. But I know intellectually there is something to be said about this experience. I could never figure it out, and I just came to peace with the idea that, okay, this is going to be an important segment of my life that might get wrapped into a larger narrative, but this obvious garden for a book just it was fallow. Like the it was just it wasn't gonna happen. So
How long ago was, when was that? Now that was
was 10 years ago,
10
right
years
now.
ago. Yeah, I was going to ask because I was having a conversation with a friend of mine recently who has a very compelling story and was talking about writing a memoir, but she still kind of has some things in progress. So I'm continuing to like do this hiking and backpacking and kayaking. I try to go out once a month for a long day to myself. But there's a certain I reached a certain when I started doing all this, I was quite convinced I was not going to write about it. I think part of it for me was really like, this is about the opposite of words. This is me trying to find silence. And if I'm out here scribbling in notebooks, thinking about how I'm going to relay all this to other people, then that's really going to be missing the point. So, for the first, the initial working title for the project was A Thousand Quiet Miles. Given that I'm up to, there were many things that happened past the 1,000 mile mark that are compelling that I'm going to write about. So I need to come up with, and I registered domains and stuff. So I committed to it. I think I started an Instagram account and a hashtag and all the things. And now I'm going to have to toss all those out because
Been there, done that. No,
a
you just got to
little
repurpose it. You
artificial.
just got to figure out a way to make that a viral trending thing, and then someone else will approach you and be like, "Oh, can I buy this domain from you?" Yeah.
So, for the first several hundred miles, I wasn't thinking about communicating. I wasn't thinking about words. I wasn't thinking about writing about anything. I was taking some notes, just for myself, just some very rudimentary notes, and then keeping track of everything through, I use different apps, different kinds of software and GPS and tracking, so that I can go back and, given technology being what it is, I can go back and I can revisit these hikes, and I've got, I can cross-reference those with the many photos on my phone. So now that I'm writing about it, I can go back and kind of recreate a lot of these days and a lot of these events. But I'm digressing here, but I wasn't going to write about it for a long time. And then I got to a point where I turned some type of corner, and I had like completed something. And it wasn't like, I don't remember exactly what point that was, but I said, okay, I think that I figured out what I needed to figure out for myself. And then there was kind of this shift from like, this is just for me. This is not an act of communication, to, okay, I think that I'm starting to see how I could write about this and how this could be helpful to other people. So to relate that to your story, maybe, and not to, you mentioned it being part of another narrative. You can't write a memoir before it's time to write that memoir. Even if you've just been through a thing, like let's say you're going to write about beating cancer and you've beaten it, like that couple of years of your life is over. Right after that might not be the time to start writing it. You might need to give that another few years. So for me, it was a few years beyond that where I started thinking about writing it. I think you've met my friend and fellow editor, Carolyn Flynn. She's got a wonderful newsletter, and she's doing a whole series about memoir right now. And one of her, a couple of weeks ago, she sent out an installment about two different timelines, the present and the past timeline, so that a lot of the interest in memoir can come from developments in the present interacting with the narrative of the past. And so a lot of times it's not enough to just have that past narrative. You have to have something going on in the present. You've got like, there's the experiencing version of yourself, and then there's the remembering and reflecting version of yourself, which I think is often kind of an underestimated character in memoir.
Yeah, my fear right now for me is that my memory works in such a way that I have no recollection of the things that I've done 10 years ago. If you asked me where I volunteered in a particular state, I can answer that. But if you ask me what I remember from it, everything just kind of becomes a jumble. And I have photographs, but I have no real contemporaneous notes. And I feel like the best I could do now is tap into whatever emotional state I can remember from that time period and try to apply it somehow. But I would encourage people to take notes even if you don't plan on writing about something or document things, even if you don't plan on sharing it widely, because you never know when you're going to want to be able to recall something. And each day that passes makes it a little bit more out of reach.
Yep. And I'm really glad I did that. And again, I wasn't doing it with the thought that this would be, you know, the basis of a manuscript, but just like, oh, I want to remember that I saw this bobcat. And so I'd just jot down a couple of significant things from each hike. Sometimes I would write, you know, if I had a particular revelation or a particular insight, I might write, you know, maybe half a page in, you know, a small journal, not a lot, but just to kind of capture the essence of a couple of things. And so I'm really glad that I have those. You know, and took a lot of photos and kind of that technological layer, which I was not ever thinking of as a writing tool, has since turned into a set of writing tools, which I'm glad I have. But yeah, for me, for you, maybe it's not something to write about, or maybe that larger narrative just hasn't appeared yet. You know, and even if things are murky, even if things are muddled and hard to remember, then you know that can become part of the story too, for you specifically, but in generally for anybody thinking about writing memoir. You don't have to remember things clearly to write about them. The act of trying to remember is a story in and of itself.
Yeah, I want to just raise up that I'm sure the people are super excited that we're back. I mean, like, I'm sure they're super excited. But I know
Absolutely.
that really what we were going to get into this episode was plotting versus pantsing because of your different approach right now with working on the memoir. I think that maybe we should approach that as a full episode, as our next episode, and let people send us their thoughts, if, or just identifying if they're plotters or pantsers, and that that's a whole episode that we could do.
Yeah, so that was a distinction I wasn't aware of until we were chatting just before this recording. But yeah, plotting versus pantsing. And I when you said panzer, I was thinking of the German tanks. So that
I'm just
threw
gonna
me off a
write
bit.
this. Yeah.
So plotting being, you know, exemplified by my approach to novels, where I will very carefully plot things out versus seat of the pants writing, which a lot of other writers is kind of their usual MO. You know, for me, it's a less familiar approach, but I'm trying to make my peace with it. It's a work in progress. But yeah, if anybody has thoughts, comments about, and every project can be different too. You know, maybe you have one particular approach for one project, maybe a different approach for another project. It'd be fun to talk about.
Absolutely. So that's maybe our next episode, gang. But before we go, I wanted to just let people know. Oh, do we got.
Sorry, I've got a tsunami alert.
No fooling.
No fooling.
This seems like the kind of footage that can be archived for 20 years from now, and be like, this is when Jason found out that the tsunami was coming.
Yeah, so maybe we'll have a next episode, or maybe.
Boy, that's
Yeah,
a
there will
cliffhanger.
series of powerful waves and strong currents may impact coasts near you. Speaking of California, the surprises just keep coming. Keep away from the coast. Well, I am not right on the coast.
Okay.
So,
Well,
yeah, I think
we'll
I'll
have
be
people
okay.
tuning in on that. But I did want to say that when Jason and I started Collaborist back in 2022, we talked a lot about what it means to build community and how story is an important keystone of it. And that's why when we end episodes of Collaboracast, we say for story, for community. And I think that right now, it's important that we continue to build community. And I don't just mean Collaborist, I mean all of us as human beings on this planet. And I made an offer on Instagram and on YouTube, but the algorithm just ate it up. That anyone who decides to volunteer their time in December in their community doing whatever. It can be working with people who are in need of food, people who are in need of shelter. It can be animals, it can be kids, it can, whatever you feel called to do. For every hour that you volunteer in your community during the month of December, I will volunteer 1 hour of my time to work with you on your project, whatever you've got going, or if you just want to sit down and talk about publishing or ask questions about the process, whatever. An hour in your community is currency for an hour of collabor bucks, which is a new thing that I'm not even gonna it's not a new
Our
currency.
crypto.
Yeah, we're making a rug pull coin. No, for real though, if you volunteer an hour in your community, I will match. If you volunteer 5 hours in your community, I will match. I'm not gonna be checking in to make sure that you did the work, but I would hope that people just act on the honor system. And if you are doing that work, or you have questions, or you've already volunteered and now you want help, you can send an email directly to ben@collaborist.org and we can get a conversation going and figure out how I can help. But just go out in your community. Be a part of your community. Do community things. It's really important. It's really healthy for you as a writer to have interaction with people and be able to have moments of introspection and reflection, and community. So I just wanted to
Beautiful,
say that.
sir.
Okay, and now here it is. It's just like I said, it was coming.
Four story.
For community.
Collab.
Collaborators.
Bird tsunami warnings.
Yeah, watch out for that now.